The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
It's no surprise that by far and away the issue that most people are texting in on is the continued restrictions when it comes to accessing maternity hospitals. It is a story we have been covering for some months now on The Hard Shoulder, and so many people have been brave enough to share their own story with us. And here is just a flavour of that. This is Stacey, John, Jim and Renock, who've spoken to us at different times over the last few weeks and months. And you're also going to hear from Minister Stephen Donnelly when he spoke to us on Monday, June 21st, over a month ago.
Husband as well, you know, he's you know, he had to drop me off last year and let me walk in alone at 2 a.m. in the morning, and he was devastated. He said it was so lonely just to watch me walking into the hospital alone, knowing that he had to turn around and sit in a car.
I pulled out, I showed it to them. They kind of just looked at it blankly and didn't even really acknowledge it. Got me out of there, so I had to sit in the car and wait. And you're trying to console the person that you love when this is going on by text message. It's barbaric, you know. It was horrific. And it makes no sense. They said to us, yeah, you can come into the 12-week scan, the 20-week scan, the labour, you can be there for that, no problem. But I can't be there for this sort of emergency. It's ridiculous. And,
yeah.
You know, people can go into Pennies and buy flip-flops and beach towels, but I can't be there with my wife when she's losing a baby. It's nuts.
Didn't think the worst immediately, but we attended the hospital that evening about 10:30, and she had to go in through A&E. I was stopped. She had to go in on her own, so I had to return to the car and sat communicating by text message. She was panicking desperately, of course, at this stage, and full of worry and anxiety, and it's just very difficult. I had to sit outside in the car, and as I said, just you're helpless. There's nothing you can do. And about an hour later, she came out. She had stopped communicating by text, but given the hospital is set up to know, sometimes you wouldn't have coverage, so I didn't think that was too unusual. But then she came out and she just sat into the car, distraught, just broke down and said that there was no heartbeat.
So we found out the week before last we were pregnant. So I suppose really we had the safety net that the restrictions were removed for, you know, when the case of miscarriage. So we did. We had another miscarriage 2 days ago. It was much earlier this time. But I really, really felt walking in the doors that he would be allowed in with me. And I felt it quite deceitful, actually, to think. And we really, really championed to get in the door. He used his voice. He's a very calm, articulate man. And there was no way of getting past the admissions.
Will I be speaking to you, it's now June, at some point in August, and you say, yeah, finally now, you know, in emergency situations, people are allowed in. As you said, an awful lot of women miscarry every day in this country. How many more Jims and Johns and everybody else are we going to have contacting the show for the next 8 weeks?
When we talked, I think 14 of the 19 were reporting as fully compliant. There were 5 that we mentioned. That came down to 3. And as of today, it should be none. And then the emergency.
It took 8 weeks to get there. And I mean, if you're only looking at an emergency from today, is it going to be another 8 weeks? Are we going to have all of this again in a month's time? You expressing your frustration. I wish the hospitals would do what we're telling them. But again, Jim is left out in the car park. Is this going to go on for another 8 weeks?
The plan is that in the coming weeks, so we're only talking 3 or 4 weeks. The plan is in the coming weeks, the emergency visits, just like that heartbreaking situation, would be facilitated.
Yeah, that was Stephen Donnelly there speaking to us over a month ago, June 21st. We also heard from Stacey, John, Jim and Renock. And in terms of full compliance, what we've learned since speaking to Stephen Donnelly over a month ago is that full compliance isn't really the full story either, because hospitals can claim full compliance when in reality restrictions are still applying. So in other words, they've got rid of this idea that men can't come in or the partners can't come in until the pregnant mother is 3 centimetres dilated. But now they say they can't come in until they are on the active labour ward. You don't get onto the active labour ward until you're about 3 centimetres dilated. So in effect, it is the same rule. And it is the same thing happening when it comes to emergency presentations. We have heard from so many different women who've told us that they've turned up in an emergency situation. They are bleeding. They know they are miscarrying. carrying and their partners not being allowed in. Why? Because technically it's not an emergency situation until after the scan and the miscarriage is confirmed, and then the partner's allowed in. But that is after the fact. So even when a hospital claims full compliance, it's not full compliance with the spirit of the guidelines, which is why we keep coming back to this story. And more people as well adding their voice to the anger and the outrage over this, including Amy DeVroon, who is an actor. A lot of you will know her from Line of Duty. Amy, I know you've been listening to these stories as well. What do you make of them?
Yeah, it's just, it's so heartbreaking. And so it's actually really hard to listen to. And one of the guys there was saying about how barbaric it was. And that's been the word I've been using from the get-go. It's barbaric. It's that, like, everyone can understand why the restrictions were there in the first place when COVID was, you know, in full flight and, you know, and everything was shut down. But now at this point, we have indoor pubs, opening up. We have indoor dinings. People are taking flights, you know, to Portugal and beyond. I can't sort of get my head around why the restrictions are still in place, and I can't get my head around why questions aren't being answered. It's just sort of a passing of the buck, and I just would love to know who the buck stops with, and why are we still in this position all this time later?
Yeah, I'm reminded when you talk about indoor pints there that great Watford Whispers headline last week about women giving birth in pubs so that their partners could be with them. You know, it would be funny. It was funny, but it would be funnier if it wasn't painfully true, actually, that wasn't the situation. You, I know you were speaking earlier on social media. You would have had your own difficulties during labour with your child, with Billy, and What a help it was to have your partner there.
Oh, like 100%. And I think that's what this sort of kind of, you know, at point A, this, you know, your partner can come in like as if they're a visitor and then they have to leave straight away. Like, birth is an entire process. You know, it's not from the moment you're 3 centimetres dilated. It's a process from the very beginning to the time that you leave the hospital with your child. And I was sort of, you know, I was induced, I was labouring quite well. And then it was a complete and utter mystery, kind of, what even the doctors couldn't really understand what happened to me. My temperature skyrocketed, I was very sick, I was passing out, baby's heartbeat was going mad. So I was taken in for an emergency C-section. And, you know, I wouldn't have been able to get through. I just know how traumatic that would have been without my partner there. And I knew he was my voice. I knew he was there to champion me, to get me what I needed. And particularly then, when I'm talking about it being a process, you know, for him to have left and not been allowed back in, you know, when I'm supposed to be feeding this baby after I've been through quite a traumatic 36-hour period, you know, I just can't get my head around how that is even allowed or possible. You know, so it's just for me when I posted my video on social media, what I noticed is the stories that were coming back. And what I found is, we, you know, as women, and particularly as women in this country with this sort of inherited trauma and history that we have surrounding women, you know, we're very good at just getting through stuff and just, you know, putting up with things and just getting through it and, you know,
being strong.
But being strong, exactly. And I say it in the video, like, we're just used to being strong, getting through it, not thinking about it. And, you know, you've got your baby and you're happy at the end of it or whatever. But, you know, but as soon as I posted the video, the amount of stories from people coming back at me, either people ready to give birth, people who had lost a child, people who have given birth to a COVID baby and are traumatized after the whole experience.
Yeah.
And nobody's like, no one's doing anything about it. It's infuriating. It's infuriating to watch places open and life go back to normal, and yet you can't have your partner. And I'm not talking about your visitors, you know, people coming in with balloons. I'm talking about the person there who is the co-parent of this child.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to have them with you. It is barbaric. And I know that my situation would have been a million times more traumatic had my husband not been there. And even the next day when, you know, my baby was taken off for a few hours, you know, it was my husband when he came in that was able to sort of fight for me to get the baby back, to see the baby, to feed the baby. all of these things. You need that person there. You're in the most vulnerable position of your life. Well, you know, so
yeah, Donnacha
O'Leary.
don't go anywhere. Donnacha O'Leary, the Sinn Féin TD, is on the line as well. Donnacha, I know you have your own first hand experience of having to stand outside the hospital.
Yeah, I suppose. Look, I was in contact with my local hospital group and indeed with the minister raising my concerns about this, but I was reluctant, I suppose, to tell our own story. But I just felt that the progress was so slow and so frustrating, as Amy says. You know, whatever about in the first instance, and I think it's questionable in those circumstances as well, but whatever about that, at a time when shops are opening, pubs are opening, to say that the partner can't be there for all of the labour for key appointments. Like, we had an emergency appointment, my now wife, Emer, just before Christmas, and we were worried. Emer had been bleeding and we had lost a baby in similar circumstances, just about a little over 2 years ago, at a similar appointment, and I was there with her that time, and it was heartbreaking. And you know, I had to drop her to the door of the hospital, and I was worried that we would get the same news. Now, I'm glad to say we didn't. The next day, our daughter was born 3 weeks ago today.
Oh, congratulations! That's great.
Thanks very much. Yeah, but I suppose the point is, many others were not so lucky, and many other people in similar situations went to the hospital worried, scared about what was going to happen, and had to let their wife or their partner or their girlfriend in on their own and wait for bad news, just like that voice that we heard there in the clips, and you know, come out to the car distraught and have to get that news on their own. You know, and you know, a miscarriage can happen at any stage. It can happen early, it can happen late, it can be unexpected, you can be worried about it beforehand. So look, the appointments need to be sorted out, but like, I also think, like, I know you've made this point yourself previously, like this thing of active labour and how many centimetres dilated, it's so arbitrary, and yeah, it doesn't take into account of how women have to, like, literally labour is the word, and suffer during labour for a long time before they're 3 centimetres dilated. And like, the minister made big play of, when he was talking to you, he made big play of the fact that yes, all of labour, not just established labour, but like, I mean, that isn't the case in hardly any hospital, I would say, at this point in time. Perhaps Galway, but that's about it. And for me, that just doesn't make sense.
And it's completely arbitrary. Yeah, can I ask, you say you've been in touch with your local hospital group. I mean, what's the response you're getting? Because here in the airways, there's a deafening silence from the hospital groups.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I suppose in recent times, like, I mean, a lot of it's about, well, we're going to try and improve and we're in compliance with the guidelines and so on. But you know, I suppose in terms of the implementation, and it's a point that's been made, like, you're definitely hearing stories that even what they're ostensibly signed up to, which as far as I'm concerned isn't good enough anyway, but even what they're ostensibly signed up to isn't being fully implemented. And like, there's other incoherences as well. Like, I've heard stories of families who where neither parent might be Irish, and they might not have family here, and they might have multiple children, so during their 2 hours visit, the mother might go out to this family and they might be mixing and they might go into the shopping centre or whatever. This is after the birth. Yeah. And the partner and the children can be circulating and whatever, but then they can't come in, and they can't come in for active labour. Like, so there's an incoherence there completely as to how this is being applied. And it's after birth as well, because women need support, they're exhausted, and then you have to leave as soon as they leave the labour ward. Like, it's just insane, really.
And there's people texting in, and I appreciate this argument because I understand why people would make it. They talk about, listen, it's health and safety and we've got to be so careful and we've got to keep COVID out of the hospitals. 53106, I should say, is the number for people who want to share their views. But I suppose, Donnacha, can you tell me the argument against that is, you know, it would make sense to say health and safety and keeping COVID out if you were completely restricting the partner from the hospital, but you're letting them in from 3 centimetres dilated on. I mean, COVID doesn't become less infectious once the woman is 3 centimetres dilated. You know,
yeah,
if your
fear
is letting COVID in, he's coming in. Why not let him in for the first period of labour?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, and it's like, it's not the case in all circumstances, but in the majority of circumstances, the partners are coming from the same household and present the same COVID risk.
Yes.
And it's also the case that you have, you know, more or less 100%, I would say, of medical staff vaccinated. The vast, vast majority of women who are given birth are vaccinated, and increasingly an awful amount of the fathers and the partners.
Most people now having children in their 30s, and almost everybody now in their 30s has been double vaccinated.
That's right, yeah. So, like, I mean, in such a context as that, and we're saying it's safe for people to eat indoors and all that kind of stuff. And listen, I'm not against that. I think that's welcome. I'm glad to see people getting back to work who have been frustrated and find that difficult for a long time. But the incoherence is just astounding. But, you know, it's so restricted, and that the hospitals seem to be... And, like, I mean, I do think the minister could be putting more pressure on as well, I have to say. And the guidelines, I don't think, go far enough. But the hospitals as well have a lot to answer for. And I think that they are being... against WHO advice, it's against the chief medical officer's advice. I don't know what basis this is, what politics is going on here, but I cannot comprehend.
No, I'm with you on that. We're going to keep asking those hospitals and hospital groups to make themselves available. None have done so thus far, but we will keep asking them. In the meantime, Aibí de Bruin, the actor, and Donal O'Leary, Sinn Féin TD, thank you both very much for joining me here on The Hard Shoulder. One listener says, so a partner can't go in, but you can have an extra 50 people at a wedding as of the 5th of August. It is ridiculous. Somebody else says, I wasn't allowed into Cork University Medical Hospital Emergency Department with my wife when she had to go in 2 weeks ago. This isn't unusual, but the difference with me is that I work there. It was a Sunday and it was my day off. I usually work in the main hospital, but I do work in the maternity as well from time to time. So I'm allowed and expected to be in there for work when I'm on shift, but not to go in with my wife when she's having a medical emergency. It beggars belief. Thank you for that text. 53106.